We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Bill Michaels Show is on the air. How you doing today? On this blacktastic day. throughout our listening area, depending on what part of the state you're in, you're probably getting out of this this low-pressure system that's been spinning its way through the state and bringing in winds from the east and now from the southwest and blowing water up on the shoreline along Lake Michigan. And then today it's all coming out of the opposite direction and high winds and misty rain and just crap. So, maybe we're here to entertain you and enjoy it to make the day a little more tolerable, I guess, is the best way to put it. Hey, Cousin Subs, they want you to experience the ultimate Bucky Bash. It's at Camp Randall Stadium. The Badgers are going to close out the football season November 23rd. One lucky fan is going to win a couple of tickets to the Wisconsin-Purdue game. You get a couple of passes to an exclusive tailgate party and a customized Badger football jersey. And you also get, this is the best part, Cousin Subs for a year. For a year, you can enter daily right now through November 17th by completing the entry form and submitting. For all the official rules and details and to enter, go to CousinSubs.com/Badgers. That's CousinSubs.com/Badgers. Cousin Subs, that's where they believe in better. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. And don't forget, they are the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Thanks to our friends over there at Cousin Subs. All right, Matt LaFleur, let's take a listen to what the head coach had to say. Let's bring it in.
This segment of the Bill Michaels Show is brought to you by Concordia Veterans Services Department, dedicated to preparing veterans to make an impact within their next mission through education. See them at cuw.edu/veterans. Now, let's hear from the coach.
Now, the head coach of your Green Bay Packers, I had mentioned this at the beginning of the program. The first 3 weeks of the season, the passing yardage against this Packers defense was 197.3. The last four games, 293. The points per game has gone up from 11.6 to 26, and their third down conversion percentage on defense is steadily climbing, and they're dropping in the standings. So Matt LaFleur said, yeah, I'm a little bit concerned about the defense, unable to stop the tight ends right now.
Yeah, no, he's a really good player, and there's some things that we definitely have to clean up on the defensive side of the ball. Gave up way too many explosives.
Talking about Darren Waller's, the tight end of the Oakland Raiders, who had seven catches in the game the other night. Also, he was asked, was the Packers' defense really slow to adjust to Waller's?
No, there were a few times where I felt like we got to do a better job of getting our guys, in the game, getting the calls in, communicated, just to give our guys a better chance to line up, see what's going on, in order for them to execute at the highest level.
And he was then discussing how much time did he spend in the offensive line meeting last spring when installing all of these game plans.
Yeah, we spent a lot of time with those guys. We always install our whole run game as a complete unit. We always recap the games as a complete unit. Now, we're not watching every snap, but we spent a good amount of time with the offensive line as well.
So it's offensive line, defensive line. He's trying to get involved in all aspects of this team. He was also asked about how important it is for the quarterback coach and the offensive line coach and all of those coaches to kind of get together and compare notes.
Well, I think it's huge. I think all our coaches, and our players, the more we communicate, the more connected we are. I think all that plays a big-time role into how productive we can be as an offense, how efficient we can be as an offense.
I don't know who asked that specific question, but it's kind of obvious, I think, just to me anyway. I don't know if that's a question I would have asked. How important is it for the coaches to be on the same page? I mean, one does not efficiently run without the other. That's the reason the entire offense needs to be together. Same with the defense. I did not expect him to answer that question by going, you know what, it really doesn't matter. The offensive line does their thing. We do our thing. No. I think everybody has to be on the same page. When asked about being on the same page, you know, with Devontae Adams out, how much is this now benefiting the offense, and how much will it benefit them later in the season, having Alan Lazard, Jay Kumro, Shepard, all these guys are getting extra snaps?
Yeah, I think it's definitely going to benefit us. You watch a guy like Alan Lazard, and he's put two back-to-back games of pretty good play together. And, the more reps you get as a player, I think naturally the more comfortable they get, the more confident those guys will get, and then you hope that produces better results.
Obviously. Nothing deep coming out of this right now. He was also asked specifically, Aaron Jones, was he lobbying for another chance after dropping that touchdown pass against the Lions?
Did he lobby? No, he's not at all. It's just the confidence. We see it every day in practice. And, you know, should he have caught that one 2 weeks ago? Absolutely, and he knows that. I think he makes that 9 out of 10 times. It was just a fluky deal. But he's got really good hands.
I hope he catches it 99 out of 100, not 9 out of 10. You know what I mean? That leaves 90 out of 100. That leaves a lot of points on the board. He was also asked, what is the key to these big plays regarding Aaron Jones or even the fullback, Danny Vitale?
Yeah, there's some misdirection. I think anytime, matter of fact, Oakland hit Derek Carrier on an insert play pass against our defense. I just think usually when you insert a fullback, they're usually going up to fit up on a linebacker or safety or whoever. And when he slips right around them, they're just not used to seeing that a ton.
Misdirection and play action have been the best friend of this offense. And I have said it before, I'll say it again. When Aaron Rodgers sells play action, it is a thing of art to watch it work and to watch a defense get sucked into one direction or at the very least frozen for a moment in time, which allows other areas of the field to open up almost immediately. But when they sell it and they do it right, it's poetry, man. Poetry in motion. He was also asked about the Packers, and now the schedule is going to lean a little bit towards now road games. When you start to talk about playing a lot of road games, I think they have four of their next five are road games. But so he was asked specifically, when you have all these road games, what's the message?
One game at a time. All I know is we're going to Kansas City this week. So, and they're a damn good football team. I think we all know that. They're explosive. I think they're a really good football team. They're well coached, and they got a lot of players.
I would assume a lot of playmakers. Every team has a certain amount of players. They all have a lot of players. But again, nothing dramatic coming out of Matt LaFleur, nothing bulletin board material, nothing overly insightful. He was asked about the mindset right now. Jimmy Graham finally kind of hitting his stride now as a Packer, but he had a good day against the Raiders.
Just how consistent he is in his preparation. He is a pro. I've said it before. He's hard on himself, and he expects a lot out of himself. But I love his approach. I love how he is in that locker room. I think he's well-respected on this team. He's got a good vibe about him.
He does. A lot of people praise him for his work ethic inside, inside the Hudson Center and inside practices, inside that locker room. We don't get a chance to see it as often, but, you know, when you get a chance to talk to some of these guys when we do the Lodge Kohler kickoff, when we'll say who's some of the leaders, you kind of expect Aaron Rodgers and Zadarius and Preston and some of these guys, specifically the wide receivers, say, well, you look at a guy like Jimmy Graham, the way he goes about it. He was also asked if he finally is seeing the detail and route running from the wide receivers and the tight ends, because he described that going all the way back to OTAs and minicamps.
Yeah, I definitely have. These guys are starting to bank reps, and the more carryover that we can have from week to week, whether it's routes, concepts, or whatever, I think it just sticks with them a little bit better, and they start to see it versus different looks and can react accordingly when they get in the game.
Matt LaFleur also was asked about Aaron Rodgers playfully now, punching him on the sidelines at the end of the Raiders game.
I've said it before. I just think any time as a play caller, that relationship with the quarterback is absolutely critical. So whether it's here or whether it was in my past in Tennessee, wherever it's been, I've always valued that relationship because you got to be on the same page. The way I view the quarterback is it's an extension of the coaching staff. And so, we've got to be on the same page. And I think that just like anything, any relationship, it takes time to, you know, making sure that the communication's on point. And, you know, I like where we're at right now, but we got to continue to work each and every day, just like any other relationship.
And the punching's okay.
I love it. I love it. That means we're doing some good things. So
he's not hitting him hard, so it's not an anger punch, you know? So that's a good thing. So the Packers from last year, where they were just a team trying to climb back into things and be respectable, they are now the hunted at 6-1.
Yeah, I just think that's this league. I mean, anybody can be anybody on any given week. So you better bring your A game each and every time you step out on that field. We're just going to keep focusing about our process, how we go about our business, how we focus, how connected we can be as a football team. But I like what these guys are about. I think we got a great locker room. I think the guys do a great job of understanding that and keeping it consistent on a weekly basis.
There you have it. Matt LaFleur, head coach of your Green Bay Packers. When we come back, it's frenzy time. Hang in there. More right after this.
Border to Border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
But if my friends ask where you are, I'm gonna say.
Welcome back, Bill Michaels Show on the air. We are glad you are here, and our friends over there at the Wisconsin Biofuels Association. I want to remind you, if you heard a lot about electric cars lately, right? Lots of EVs being announced, and you're going to see the Teslas running around a whole lot more lately as well. Interesting fact that one of the big reasons that people are buying the EVs is because they don't want to use fossil fuels to drive around. Oil, gas, you get what I'm talking about. Did you know that you can achieve 85% of the EV just by using E85, the flex fuel vehicle? If you got a flex fuel car, use E85, and you're doing exactly the same thing, almost, that the electric cars are doing. Think about that. In your own existing flex fuel vehicle, you are using 85% of what the EV drivers are doing without paying the big price or using the batteries and all that kind of stuff, okay? However, if you're out driving around in a flex fuel vehicle and maybe you can't find one of those charging stations or something like that because they're not everywhere, you can still buy regular gas. You can still get E85. You can get unleaded 88. You're still helping out the environment. And just getting the facts, that's it. Getting 85% of the way towards not burning fossil fuels in your vehicle without having to buy a new car, that's the way to go. Flex fuel vehicles, I've got one. Love it. All you got to do is get the facts. Get all the information. Go to wibiofuels.org. That is wibiofuels.org and see for yourself. Let's do some frenzy, shall we?
Another big football weekend.
Deep digs inside the five. Touchdown!
Time to look around the rest of the league.
Mahomes takes the snap. She set up a screen right side at the 15, two blocks at the 10. Damian Williams, five. Touchdown!
This is the Football Frenzy on the Bill Michaels Show.
Pulling for the football. Back, looking. He rolls. He pumps. He fires. Complete. Touchdown, Alshon Jeffrey.
Brought to you by the Wisconsin Laborers District Council. They train, you gain.
Fourth and goal from the one. Chubb gets the handoff. He gets trapped in the backfield, and he's not going to get there.
For apprenticeship info and the location of the local near you, go to wylaborers.org.
Time now for the frenzy of the Rams and the Falcons. Jared Goff dropping that dime to Todd Gurley. Here it is.
Goff breaks the huddle. They set up two by two. He takes the quick snap, looking right all the way, lobs the ball to Gurley, out of the backfield, over the shoulder. He brings it in. Touchdown, LA! Todd Gurley with one of the great catches of his career back in Georgia. Ran past Vic Beasley for the first touchdown of the game.
On our Rams radio network, Jared Goff, 22 of 37, 268 yards, a couple of touchdowns, one of them right there. Gurley, 18 carries, 41 yards. But he did catch one out of the backfield like you just heard, and that is the Rams getting the win, going to 4-3. The Falcons go to 1-6, 37-10. The final, that was in Georgia at the new Mercedes-Benz Dome. The Bills and the Dolphins, Micah Hyde, remember that name? He continues to stand out for Buffalo.
Here's the bloop kickoff, the short one, and it is caught by Micah Hyde in the air, and he's going to run the other way.
Go down.
Micah Hyde running at the 10, at the 5, into the end zone, touchdown.
Go down. No. Score. Score! 31-21. That was the final. Micah Hyde getting the 45-yard kickoff return on what was supposed to be the onside kick. Got it high in the air at the apex and took it in. In that ballgame, Fitzpatrick, 23-35, 282 yards for the Dolphins. Not a great day, a touchdown and a pick. But Jared Allen not needing to do too much at all. 16 complete out of 26, 202 yards, a couple of touchdowns. 11 carries, 55 yards for Frank Gore. But they hang on to win. The Buffalo Bills do that. Is on the Buffalo Bills radio network. Then you got the Bengals and the Jaguars. The Bengals suck. Gardner Minshew connects with Keelan Cole for the score.
Minshew drops the throw. Fires to the right corner of the end zone. Once Keelan Cole in the right corner of the end zone. Touchdown! Keelan Cole with the score, and Jacksonville has taken the lead.
One of the stores in Cincinnati is now actually selling orange paper bags with the eyes and the mouth cut out of it to wear over your head if you're going down to a Bengals game at Paul Brown Stadium. 27-17. That's the final on the Jaguars radio network. Then, as we continue to move on throughout the frenzy, the Vikings and the Lions. This was a good one, but not a great one because the Vikings ended up running away with it. Adam Thielen makes one hell of a catch in the end zone from Kirk Cousins.
Handoff goes to Madison. He's throw. No, it's a bootleg. Cousins rolls left. Throws end zone. Caught Thielen. Touchdown!
Paul Allen on the Vikings radio network. It ended up 42-30. Vikings getting the win. Kirk Cousins 34-24, 337 yards. Oh, boy, he had a day. Four touchdowns, quarterback rating of 141.4. Stephon Diggs, seven catches, 142 yards. Then you've got Adam Thielen, one catch, 25 yards right there. That was for the touchdown as well, but a big day. Also, Dalvin Cook, 25 carries, 142 yards, and a couple of scores in a Vikings victory. Again, 42-30, and that was Paul Allen on the Vikings radio network. The Colts and the Texans, Jacoby Brissett. The T.Y. Hilton touchdown.
Left side, a wide receiver screen, a T.Y. touchdown, I-N-D-Y. Touchdown, T.Y. Hilton. A two-yard strike from Jacoby Brissett. And the Colts find pay dirt again. And they now lead it 13-6 with a minute 49 to go in the first half.
It ended up 30-23. The Colts win again. They beat the Texans. I'm a little bit surprised about how well the Colts are playing, but they go to 4-2. The Texans fall to 4-3. That was on the Colts radio network. In the meantime, the Cardinals and the Giants. Cardinals going from the desert over to the East Coast. It's kind of tough, but Chase Edmonds scores his third touchdown of the game for the Cardinals.
Murray in the shotgun to his right is Edmonds. Three receivers set, and it's a handoff to the left side. Edmonds, he's got room at the 20, the 10, the 5. He's in again. The hat trick. Third touchdown run. The first two went for 20 apiece. This one goes for 22 yards. And the Cardinals lead it 23-14.
On the Cardinals radio network, that put them up 24-14 after the PAT. Add another field goal to that and a score by the Giants. It ended up 27-21. Kyler Murray, 14 of 21, 104 yards. Not a spectacular day, but did enough just to move the sticks. Edmonds there, 27 carries, 126 yards, the longest being 22, but he had three touchdowns on the day. There you have it. Also, you've got the 49ers and the Redskins. It was a sloppy mess. It came down to field goals on a nasty, wet, puddle-filled field out there at FedEx Field. Robbie Gould had a chip shot.
Sanborn will snap. Wisnowski will hold. They've got it down. Robbie Gould will drive it right through the uprights, and the 49ers have a second field goal and a 6-0 lead.
It ended up a whopping 9-0. Robbie Gould being the only scorer in the game, a 28-yarder, 22-yarder, and a 29-yarder. in that ball game, and the 49ers get a win, but it was only 9-0. Case Keenum, 9 of 12 for 77 yards. He stinks. Meanwhile, Garoppolo, 12 of 21, 151 yards. He did throw a pick in that mess. Nothing to write home about there on the 49ers radio network, but just a fun-filled, sloppy, dive-through-the-mud kind of game, if you know what I mean. Titans and Chargers. Derrick Henry, he goes from 11 yards out.
Tannehill motions Smith to the left. They go toss that way. Henry trying to turn it up. He's at the 10. He's at the 5. He's in the end zone, standing up. Touchdown! Titans! Derrick Henry, 11 yards to pay dirt, and the lead is 9.
Goes to 23-13 after the PAT. Then after that, they did have the Chargers tack on another touchdown, but really for nothing. 23-20 is the way it ended up. Phillip Rivers, 24-38, 329 yards, a couple of touchdowns. Really good day for him. But Tannehill, 23 of 29, 312 yards, two touchdowns, one pick, quarterback rating of 120.1. And that's the way things kind of ended up. Derrick Henry, 22 carries, 90 yards. Had a touchdown on the afternoon as well. That was on the Tennessee Titans radio network. Tennessee, by the way, in this contest, puts them at 3-4. The Chargers at 2-5. Then we continue to move on. You've got to the Saints and the Bears. Who needs Alvin Kamara? Latavius Murray, a hell of a running back by himself.
Bridgewater under center. Handoff goes to Latavius Murray, who is across the goal line. Touchdown, Latavius Murray, 4 yards out.
Now, I'm not saying that's on the Saints radio network. I'm not saying that Latavius Murray is Kamara, but he's a hell of a backup, just the way Teddy Bridgewater is a hell of a backup to Drew Brees. You know what I mean? Latavius Murray with that score there put him up 36-10 after the PAT. The final score, 36-25, as the Bears put up a couple more scores with Allen Robinson catching a 7-yard pass from Mitch Trubisky, and Wilms also getting a 6-yard pass from Mitch Trubisky. Made it 36-25, but all in all, Teddy Bridgewater, 23 of 38, 281 yards, a couple of touchdowns on the day. Latavius Murray, 27 carries, 119 yards and two touchdowns against that vaunted Bears defense. So they're missing Kamara. I agree with you, but that he's still solid as a backup. Ravens and Seahawks, the trade is already paying off. Former Rams Marcus Peters with the pick six.
Wilson steps up, pumps once, throws along the near sideline, intercepted, picked off, and going to the house. It's Marcus Peters, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Ravens! And welcome to the Ravens secondary, Marcus Peters.
Marcus Peters, a 67-yard interception return, which made it, with the PAT, 13-10. It ended up 30-16. That's on the Ravens radio network. That was Russell Wilson. That pick six, by the way, he had thrown 222 straight passes without an interception before that pick six. Russell Wilson going 20 of 41, 241 yards, a touchdown and a pick. Jackson goes 9 of 20, 143 yards. And no touchdowns, no picks, no nothing. Jackson, by the way, also rushes 14 times, 116 yards, and scores on his own. So he may not have thrown it, but he knows how to run it. That's for damn sure. And again, they walk away with a victory over there in Seattle, 30-16. Ravens are 5-2. Seahawks are now 5-2 as well. We continue on. The Cowboys and the Eagles, Dallas. They just beat up on Philly. Dak Prescott had a redeeming performance in this game.
And they're going to go boot to the right. He's got nobody. He's going to keep it to the 5. He's got a first down, dive into the pylon. Touchdown! Touchdown for Dak Prescott. And with that touchdown, Dak Prescott has surpassed Hall of Famer Roger Staubach for most rushing touchdowns in a career by a Cowboys quarterback.
And Roger Staubach on hand to witness that the other night on Sunday Night Football. That Dak Prescott was an 8-yard run outside, a Maher kick after the fact. It makes it 37-10 on the Dallas Cowboys radio network, and that's the way it ended up. Dak Prescott, 21-27, 239 yards, threw a touchdown and a pick. Carson Wentz, 16 of 26, 191 yards, also a touchdown and a pick. Sacked 3 times in this ball game. Howard rushes 11 times, 50 yards. Nothing to write home about. Meanwhile, it was all Ezekiel Elliott coming out of the backfield. 22 carries, 111 yards, 6 catches for 36 yards. He only scored once, but that cat continued to move the football all day long. Amari Cooper, 5 catches, 106 yards, but did not dent the end zone. And again, the Cowboys go to 4-3. Eagles now fall to under 500, sitting at 3-4 on the season. Then last night, Sony Michel, his third touchdown of the night.
Roberts in front of Michel, takes the handoff and runs it to the right. And Sony Michel with a lunge, dives in for his third touchdown of the night as New England adds to its lead.
The lower bowl is just filled with Patriots fans now.
Patriots going to win 33-0 over the craptastic New York Jets. Patriots 7-0, Jets 1-5 on the Patriots Radio Network. And that is your frenzy. Got a lot more of the Bill Michael Show next.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Over at Van Horn Automotive, reminding you that they are the home of the 90-day test drive. Good people over there at Van Horn. Love working with them. And I actually had a gentleman over at Lambeau Field came running over going, you really do drive a Ford F-150? I said, yes. He did. He said, did you get it from Van Horn? I said, yes. I don't lie. I mean, anybody I do an endorsement for, I've used the product. I've been there, done that. Van Horn Automotive, the 90-day test drive, and they are exclusive to that. And through it's across their dealerships, by the way, 15 of them in the state of Wisconsin and outside the state as well. But all you got to do is go to VanHornAuto.com, see the make, the model, everything you're looking for. You can price it out, go in and get it, and take it for 90 days. And if you love it, well, then there you have it. If you don't, you can bring it back and say, it's a little bit out of my price range, or maybe I want a little bit more on it, more bells and whistles. I want it in a four-door, not a two-door. I want it in a pickup, whatever it happens to be. Go grab it. That's our friends Evan Dan, Van Horn Automotive. That's VanHornAuto.com. Go to VanHornAuto.com. Make sure you tell them we sent you because they're really, really, really good people. Let's talk some college football. It's collegefootballnews.com. Pete Futek joins us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Pete, it's like a giant air going out of a balloon here in Badgerland as they go into Illinois and look past the Fighting Illini to the Ohio State Buckeyes, and now what? Do they have any kind of a shot at all at getting into the Final Four?
If they win out, but that means you got to beat Ohio State twice now, which isn't going to happen. So they don't. I mean, if they go 12-1 with the Big Ten championship, they're in. But that's asking for a tall task. They've got to refocus everything and. They just got to be sharper. The problem is, and you know this, you know, being there, Wisconsin, you know how they lose games. They either lose to the teams that are ridiculously talented, and Ohio State might be the best team in college football, or they lose because of turnover margin. And that just, we've seen this throughout the 26 years that this program has been good after, you know, the 1993 breakthrough season where, look, they win a, you know, split national championship at least in 93. If Darryl Bevell doesn't throw five picks against Minnesota, you know, there's, you know, PTSD for younger fans with, you know, Joel Stave against Northwestern or against Iowa. Or last year, you know, five games, they lost the turnover margin in all of their losses. And that's exactly what happened against Iowa. They did everything right. They held the ball for 41 minutes. They only allowed 9 completed passes. And if you're minus one in turnover margin instead of minus two, you win that game.
So, look, that would be taking into effect that or into account that Ohio State is going to beat Penn State as well. Do you think Penn State has a shot against Ohio State?
Sure. I mean, Penn State's got the athletes, they got the talent. It's a little bit of an overblown team. I mean, they struggled against Pitt. They struggled against Iowa. Those two are just okay, and beating Michigan's okay. You know, you saw Wisconsin, how that can kind of go with the Wolverines. So it's a good Penn State team. But Ohio State, at this point, is just playing at a whole other level. I mean, they've got more talent than everyone else. They've got more NFL guys. They've got more speed. They've got more athleticism. They got more depth. This thing is a fully focused monster at this point. With that said, it's not like Wisconsin can't win this game. If the formula continues to work, if it's just they control the clock, control the line of scrimmage, control the game, if Jack Cohn can hit those third down throws and keep things moving a little bit, yeah, they can absolutely pull this off. But again, you're looking ahead and you're saying Wisconsin's going to have to probably beat them twice. Again, that's asking for a lot to do.
Tell me tell me about Notre Dame. I know Notre Dame gets in on a lot of cachet, but at what point are they going to be penalized for not having a conference championship game?
This year, and this is going to be the problem, because they can they'll probably beat Michigan. They'll probably run the rest of the schedule. They'll probably go 11-1, and they're not going to be in it. You can't. It's not this year. Not when you have an Oregon or a Utah that's probably going to go 12-1 with a Pac-12 championship. Not when you have a Clemson that's almost guaranteed to go 13-0. Not when you have an SEC champion that's guaranteed to get in. Not to mention, let's say, the Alabama LSU loser might go 11-1. Not to, Oklahoma. You could even say, like you said, maybe the Penn State Ohio State loser goes 11-1. There are just way too many variables involved. And it's a problem if you don't. And the College Football Playoff Committee, they're unwritten rules, but they very strongly suggest that you first and foremost go with teams that go 12 and win at least 12 games and win a conference championship. They look at conference championships first, and Notre Dame's not going to have one.
I'm not a fan of Notre Dame to begin with. I used to be years ago, not a big fan of Brian Kelly, but this schedule this year, do they get a tougher schedule anywhere upcoming, or are they just going to kind of live and die by what they've got going on, playing teams and not great teams?
Yeah, you know what? They got the friends with benefits thing happening with the ACC. So when you're playing ACC teams and the ACC just isn't that good and you're not playing Clemson, it doesn't matter. Virginia's probably the second best team in the conference. They're probably, if it's not Virginia, it's Pitt who's going to end up playing Clemson for the ACC championship. That's just not that great. No one's going to get into it that much. Virginia Tech, not that great. USC is still good. It's not Notre Dame's fault that USC is just not the killer it's supposed to be. Michigan's a good game. Georgia's a good game. So if you go across the board, it's a good schedule. It's fine. It's not like playing an SEC West schedule, though. But compared to what Clemson's playing, it's night and day better. I mean, Clemson doesn't play anybody. So
yeah.
You got to give Notre Dame a little bit of a break there.
Talking with Pete Futek, collegefootballnews.com. You can read his stuff there. There's still going to obviously be a jumble atop the top four, top eight, because Penn State's going to play Ohio State, Alabama, LSU. Those teams are going to be playing. You've got Auburn coming up with the Iron Bowl again against Alabama. You've got to throw Georgia, Florida into the mix. Oregon, we'll see what happens in the Pac-12. But there's still going to be some jostling that's going to take place here over the next few weeks. So I'm not worried about where it stands right now.
Oh, yeah. No, you can't be, because who saw Illinois, Wisconsin coming? Who saw Georgia, South Carolina coming? There's going to be a shake. I mean, Auburn could beat LSU this week. That would not be that crazy. Oklahoma, I'm sticking with my original call. Oklahoma State at home might pull off a win over Oklahoma, because that's kind of what that program does under Mike Gundy. I mean, these could be really crazy, really fast. The thing about it is, though, if it gets crazy, it's going to help the Pac-12, because crazy means Oklahoma loses or Clemson loses, and then a 12-1 Pac-12 champion all of a sudden has a pretty solid resume to get into. If you're Wisconsin, to take this back to the Big Ten, you got to be 12-1. You got to win a Big Ten championship, because anything else now doesn't do it, unless you're Ohio State and there's something quirky happens. But this year, you got to start with winning a conference championship and go from there.
I was going to say, what would it take for Ohio State not to be there?
If it's possible, if they lose to Wisconsin, say this weekend, even that wouldn't actually get it, because they'd still get to the Big Ten championship. I actually kind of envision, as crazy as this might be, a scenario where Michigan loses to Penn State. I'm sorry, they could lose to Penn State, they could lose to Wisconsin, and then shock the world and beat Ohio State. And somehow, in a weird sort of way, Ohio State doesn't get in. But it would be really hard. Ohio State would have to be 11-1 and somehow lose in really painful fashion like they did a few years ago. But this year, I think you got to win your conference championship, even if you're the Buckeyes.
Talking with Pete Futek at collegefootballnews.com. Going back to the Big Ten, tell me about Minnesota, because they got a few games against top 25 teams coming up, so you're really going to find out where their mettle is. But that's a program I don't think a whole lot of people realize. That's an undefeated program. They're a program on the rise.
And they haven't played anybody. So
correct.
It's been my call from the beginning. I've said in my offseason call that the Paul Bunyan-Ax game would be for the Big Ten West, mainly because Wisconsin has to play Ohio State. It has to play Michigan. It has to play Michigan State. Minnesota gets Penn State at home. They don't get the Buckeyes. They don't get the Wolverines. They don't. Their schedule just is nice and breezy. Maryland's not very good. Nebraska's not very good. Iowa's beatable. They're going to lose. I mean, they're not going to get to the Wisconsin game undefeated, but they should get to the Penn State game at 8-0 and get the world buzzing a little bit more. It's an okay team. It's a solid team. The thing about them is they've got NFL receivers, and their running game finally has come around. It took them this long in the season to finally get that they've got arguably the deepest group of running backs in the Big Ten, and they're starting to use them a little bit more.
Pete, always good to talk to you. We certainly appreciate it. We will chat again down the road as we get to the end of the season, okay?
Absolutely. Have a good one.
Great. There you go. Pete Futek from collegefootballnews.com. That's collegefootballnews.com. You can find him on Twitter at Pete Futek, F-I-U-T-A-K, on Twitter as well. Find him there. He joins us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years, they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE. Go to schneiderjobs.com. Going to be at the Tap Room this Thursday night for the Bill Michaels Huddle, brought to you by our friends at Bud Light. Hope to see you out there in the south side of Milwaukee. Again, the Tap Room this Thursday night, brought to you by our friends at Bud Light. They are the home of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network, as a matter of fact, when you talk about the official beer. So hopefully you're supporting Bud Light, and we'll see you at the Tap Room this coming Thursday night from 6 to 8 for the Bill Michaels Huddle. One guy says goodbye, and we've got a special place in our hearts for this dude. We'll tell you who it is coming up next on the Bill Michaels Show.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We are back, and we are glad you are here. Hey, I don't know if you caught this yesterday, but CeCe Sabathia, who holds a special place in many, 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 many Brewers fans' hearts, he called it a career. His career ended after he suffered a shoulder subluxation, a dislocated shoulder during his Game 4 relief appearance, kind of a disappointing end of the season. Had a lot of injuries this year. First, it was a knee ailment that kept him on the shelf for a while. Then shoulder problems that cropped up. In a way, it is kind of a perfect way to leave. We talk about him being the greatest teammate and the person that we all revere so much. According to the Yankees manager, Aaron Boone, he left it all out there. He gave us everything he had. Even though it is sad to see him walking out, there is some kind of awesome to it. In a weird way, Sabathia ends his career as a six-time All-Star, 2007 AL Cy Young Award winner, member of the Yankees' 2009 World Series championship team. He's one of only three left-handers in history with 3,000 strikeouts, and his 251 wins ranks him as the highest among active pitchers and pitchers whose career began after the year of 2000. The biggest knock against him making the Hall of Fame in his career is that a 3.74 ERA, which would tie him for the third highest by a player to reach Cooperstown. Working in his favor, Jack Morris and Mike Mussina have both been in the Hall of Fame. They had career ERAs right around his. But his numbers also look so much stronger when you go for the adjusted ERA, even if he's far from a slam dunk candidate. But, you know, there's a lot of people that believe he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. And he was extremely solid. And God knows that he threw the Brewers down the stretch on his back to put them in the postseason for the first time in a long time. But CeCe Sabathia, somebody that holds a candle near and dear to many Brewers fans' hearts, he ends up walking away from the game saying it's just it. Just can't do it anymore. Can't come back from the shoulder injury. Can't come back from some of the things I've been suffering through. And let's be honest, he's had a hell of a career. So CeCe Sabathia walking away from the game. We still have another hour yet to go, and coming up the next hour, we're going to talk some more Badger football. Zach Heilprin, sports director of 96.7 FM and 1670 AM, the Zone out there in Madison, he's going to be joining us, and we'll talk more about Aaron Rodgers and that performance that he had against the Oakland Raiders. Also a reminder that our friends over at Doc Levine Dental, he is one of the proud sponsors that takes us down to Super Bowl. I've been telling you, as a matter of fact, I was talking about Doc yesterday, as a matter of fact, that not only is he a great guy, but, you know, I met him because I had like a tooth emergency, I guess, for lack of a better way to put it. And I just called him, and he hit me up on Facebook and got me in right away. As a matter of fact, that night met me at the office and just took care of me. And that's where myself and the family have gone ever since. And whether it's a dental checkup, cosmetic makeover, dental restoration, whatever it happens to be, he's just a terrific, terrific guy. LevineDental.com, L-E-V-I-N-E, Dental.com. Welcoming patients of all ages. And they're a convenient one-stop shop, basically, destination for your family's dental needs. Go to LevineDental.com, L-E-V-I-N-E, LevineDental.com. Also, our buddy Mike Mack, I hate to say it, but we're kind of turning the corner towards that time of year, the tax attorney, proven track record of helping Wisconsin residents and business owners eliminate some of their tax problems. He's really, really, really good at it. Go to MikeMack.com, M-I-K-E-M-A-C-K, MikeMack.com, and see for yourself what I'm talking about. And also our friends out there at Stoley's Hog Alley in Oconomowoc. You don't have to be a biker to have fun there. Lunch daily from 11 to 5, Tuesday nights, wing night, pizza night on Wednesday, tacos on Thursday, fish fry on Friday. They got it all going on. And Jeff and his wife, Alicia, they walk around the place. They make sure you're happy. They're just terrific, terrific, terrific people. So stop into Stoley's Hog Alley and tell them we said hi. We still got a lot more of the Bill Michaels Show yet to go. We're going to talk more about Aaron Rodgers' performance against the Oakland Raiders. We're going to wrap things up all in the next hour. Stay tuned. A whole lot more coming up right after this.
Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.